towards the end there, as we had to reduce headcount to try to keep the company going, we obviously had to continue to write code and produce features and products for our customers. And we had to come up with a way of how can we continue to scale the development when we're just getting smaller and smaller. And all of us started working with Cursor, taking the approach of how can we use AI and specifically Cursor to help us build product faster and more efficiently. Then really started digging into how can we unleash the agent. I'm Tyler Wells, and I am the co-founder and CTO of BrainGrid.ai.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Spent 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing on the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what to do next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
A company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve
more. Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time.
The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart, and today how Tyler Wells is building a way for you to get 100x using the power of AI and agents. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Grow your API user adoption and improve engineering velocity with friction-free integration experiences. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in minutes. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, and AutoTrader, you're in good hands. Join the Wolfpack at qawolf.com. Tyler Wells lives outside of Austin, Texas. He moved there 4 years ago, spent most of his time in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. Outside of tech, he is married with a family. His 3 kids are heavily involved in sports and extracurricular activities, which keeps them all pretty busy. But when he has time, he's into cooking. He thinks of it as a nerdy endeavor, eating at a fancy restaurant and going home to try to recreate the dish. At the sunset of his prior company, Tyler and his co-founders started digging into the AI code editor, Cursor, and how the agent side of things could increase the power and speed of coding. Through the shutdown, they decided to start something new. This is the creation story of BrainGrid.
BrainGrid came at the end of my previous company, which we're still in the process of shutting down. That company was Propel or Propel Data. Towards the end there, as we had to reduce headcount to try to keep the company going, we obviously had to continue to write code and produce features and products for our customers. And we had to come up with a way of how can we continue to scale the development when we're just getting smaller and smaller. And all of us started working with Cursor, taking the approach of how can we use AI and specifically Cursor to help us build product faster and more efficiently. And the early days, we were largely using Code Complete, maybe chatting a little bit with the agent, having it refactor things for us. And that was great. I think we probably got a 2 or 3x productivity boost from doing that. But then really started digging into how can we unleash the agent. And so in the beginning, Cursor didn't have the more agentic approach to building. It was just the Code Complete, like I said, and chatting with it. And then when they released the agent, we really dug into how we could speak in plain English and get really good results out of Cursor using the agent and letting it do the bulk of the coding for us. And so myself and one of my co-founders would go back and forth building things, and we would learn stuff and share those bits of knowledge with each other and just snowballed and continued to to build on that corpus of information of, you can get it to do more. You can get it to write, stay within our sort of technical specifications. You can add things like cursor rules, and those continue to grow over time. And we came up with what we thought was a really good workflow and means of deriving even greater efficiency out of those agents. And that kind of turned into BrainGrid. And so what BrainGrid is aiming to do is to really unleash the full power of agentic coding through the use of rules, through the use of planning, implementation, and give the developers this platform for managing a lot of those artifacts that are needed to feed into the agents to really get the efficiency out of them and allow them to do the bulk of the coding for you. And you really stay at a higher level and kind of work in plain English, describing what it is you want to build and getting the agents to actually build it for you. We've gotten, I would say, very good results from that. We're using that same flow as we're building the platform for BrainGrid to build BrainGrid. So we're, in essence, eating our own dog food and using this process and using what pieces of the platform that we have to get all of that stuff working. And it's been working very well.
I'm curious about the MVP, right? So you probably kind of touched on most of the MVP there in your story, but I want to give it full space of around, you know, what tools you were using, even outside of Cursor, to make it happen, and the agent side of Cursor, and how long it took you to really bring it to life to where it could be called BrainGrid.
So when we looked at the MVP, it was, what is our sort of starting point to allow developers to start to gain the efficiency from the agentic code, the coding agents? There's a lot of talk out there, especially on Twitter, about rules and providing rules to those agents. Because if you just let the agent go out and build and don't provide it with anything, you're going to get wildly crazy results. It's going to go all over the place building stuff. And so you start to use these cursor rules to really provide guardrails and constrain what the agent is doing and what its output is going to be. A good example is, we use Jest for testing. If you don't tell it that you're using Jest, all of a sudden it might try to introduce Mocha or some other test framework because that's what it's decided to do. It's largely non-deterministic at times. And if you're not giving it those guardrails, it ends up showing up with code that you didn't ask it to write. The first thing we started looking at is, how can we make it easier for developers to discover new rules, to install those rules, and then to utilize those rules? And so we started building that platform for managing the rules. And I think it took us largely maybe 2 to 3 weeks to try to come up with a concept, refine some of those concepts, and then start building out the backend in all in Node.js, post it up in Vercel, and then start building our VS Code extension for actually interacting with some of those rules. And that allowed us, again, using that approach, the agentic approach, we haven't really been writing much of the code ourselves. We've been letting the agents do it for us. And then, yes, we have to get involved with some of the deployments and other things like that. But for the most part, BrainGrid is being built, in a sense, almost by BrainGrid. It is a crazy new world.
This message is sponsored by Vanta. Trust isn't just earned, it's demanded. Whether you're a startup founder navigating your first audit or a seasoned security professional scaling your GRC program, proving your commitment to security has never been more critical or more complex. That's where Vanta comes in. Businesses use Vanta to establish trust by automating compliance for in-demand frameworks like SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. And with automation and AI throughout the platform, you can proactively manage vendor risk and complete security questionnaires up to 5 times faster, getting valuable time back. Vanta can also save you money. A new IDC white paper found that Vanta customers achieve $535,000 per year in benefits. So the platform pays for itself in just 3 months. Join over 10,000 global companies like Atlassian, Quora, and Factory who use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. For a limited time, listeners get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/codestory. That's vanta.com/codestory for $1,000 off. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Whether you're growing the user adoption of your public API or streamlining internal development, SDKs can turn the chore of API integration into effortless implementation. Unburden your API users from guessing their way around your API while keeping your team focused on your product. shorten the time to live integration, and provide a delightful experience for your customers. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate up-to-date, robust, idiomatic SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in just a matter of minutes. SDKs are feature-rich with type safety, auto-retries, and pagination. Everything you need to give your API the developer experience it deserves. Deliver a premium API experience without the premium price tag. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory to get started and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory.
I'm so pumped about my new offshore dev partner. I'm saving a ton, and they even signed an NDA. Wait, is that our financial statements on the internet?
My dev partner has great communication. They can acknowledge an issue or email message super fast after they run it through Google Translate, of course.
I have a call set up with my partner right now. Hey, guys. Guys, are you there? Wait, did you just ghost me?
Ever been in these situations? Yeah, me too. That is, until I found Tekla. Tekla is world-class, nearshore talent for technology teams who demand the highest standards. The platform gives you access to over 50,000 vetted Latin America technology experts, including developers, designers, and IT professionals, all fluent in English and all in your time zone. In 7 days or less, you can have your tech expert hired through Tekla's fast, efficient hiring process, which helps you find and onboard top candidates. Get senior-level talent at competitive rates, often half the cost of hiring in the U.S., but aligned with U.S. work culture and time zones, making teamwork easy and productive. Hire the best tech experts today with Tekla. Learn more at tekla.io. That's T-E-C-L-A.io. So I know it's early days, but I'm really curious about progression and maturation. Like, how are you planning to push the product forward? And I think to wrap that in a box a little bit, and I usually ask the question, is around roadmap. How are you going to go about building your roadmap, or how are you going about building your roadmap? And, you know, how do you decide what the next most important thing is to build, to address, to do with BrainGrid?
We always look at it from the standpoint of is what is going to provide the most value for our developers. So what is the feature or the set of features that we can put together that when a developer sits down, whether it's a greenfield project or a brownfield project, that they're going to be able to utilize BrainGrid to realize the same level of efficiencies that we've been seeing as we've been doing this? Because we're a developer-focused product, everything has to be under the lens or under the viewpoint of, I need another developer to take this and get that wow factor and have the magic that we've been seeing by using the product. That's largely what we look at is, what can we get in the hands of a developer as fast as we can so they can utilize it, they can gain those efficiency and get that aha moment of, okay, this is the new way to do things and this is, I don't want to go back. I can't live without this.
We'll switch to team. And I assume that, you know, a lot of the team probably came from Propel Data, but I'm curious about, you know, that and how you've set up the team in these early days and how you're going to build the team and when you do, what you're going to look for to indicate those people are the winning horses to join you.
For us right now, it's myself and one of my co-founders from Propel, and then we brought along one of our front-end developers who lives down in Colombia. So there's only three of us. What we're able to do is we want to keep the team as small as possible for as long as possible. I think gone are the days of hiring for the sake of hiring because you need people to get out there and build. I think what you can do with the agents and the efficiency gains you can get from them, you want to keep that team small. I want to have as little chaos in there as possible and keep it as constrained as I possibly can. What I start to think about now, where my previous company, Propel, is, okay, I need another developer to do X or another developers to work on Y. Now I'm starting to think the next hire we're probably going to make is more in the go-to-market function or the DevRel function to help us spread the word of what we're doing at BrainGrid and start to interact with the developer community to make them more efficient, to walk them through tutorials, to build better rules for us, to share those rules out there and get the developers on board with agentic coding.
This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. If slow QA processes bottleneck your software engineering team and you're releasing slower because of it, you need a solution. You need QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, AutoTrader, and many more, you're in good hands. Ready to ship faster with fewer bugs? Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com to see if they can help you squash the QA bottleneck. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. So this next question will be really interesting given how you're approaching this problem, but I'm curious about scalability. In what you're using, it seems highly scalable already, but I'm curious if there's areas where you've had to architect it with scale in mind or already in early days where you've run into growing problems with scalability. Tell me a little about that.
We develop a lot of things based around APIs. Those APIs are going to be calling into the LLMs. So there's always the sort of natural scale problems you're going to have there as I'm starting to chain APIs together. And then making sure or wanting to understand is as I'm calling into something like Anthropic or OpenAI, how are they going to scale? But I think the proof is in the pudding and they're doing quite fine considering that the usage that something like Cursor is getting today and how pervasive GPT is, I probably worry a lot less about that. And so I think it's early days to really see where we're going to start to run into scale problems. And that's a good problem to have. Obviously, I don't mind those at all. That means people are using the product and using the platform. But we'll have to, I think it remains to be seen.
Again, early days, I get that. But I'm really curious, as you step out on the balcony already and you look across what you've built, what are you most proud of?
I would say how quickly we've come to realization of a workflow that can vastly increase the efficiency of developers. I think everybody at the end of the day should strive to be more efficient and be able to build more. And putting those tools together that into the hands of a capable developer that can just 10, 20, 30x what they can do, and even get into areas that maybe they've never coded in before with languages they've never coded in, but can do that safely and effectively is really cool. And I think that's, if I was to say what am I most proud of right now, it would be that. And getting something that's already starting to be effective, at least for us, and then we'll start to expand, obviously, into design partners, beta customers, things of that nature, and get all that feedback and see how they deal with it.
Okay, let's flip the script a little bit. I know this, again, early days, but tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team have responded to it.
One of the things that we look at when starting a company, especially early days, is you've got to make a series of bets. And these are hypotheses that you're out to prove to see if these things are going to work. And in early days, we made a pretty big bet that customer-facing analytics was this new area that people needed to go out and create in. That customer-facing analytics is hard, and specifically building customer-facing analytics on top of a platform like Snowflake. We saw a lot of issues there, and we probably spent the good part of a year trying to go after that market, and it took us longer than it needed to realize that it was never going to appear. What we should have done is done a better job of, when we put that experiment out there, had our exit criteria well-defined to say, hey, this experiment is working, keep going, pour more gas on that fire and let it keep going, or stop it now and pivot to something else. Because what we found out later on when we did eventually pivot into more of a telling the story around serverless ClickHouse, that resonated far better with developers and far better in the market. And we were starting to see a little bit of early traction there. And I feel like the mistake you sometimes make as a founder is you get bought into that story so much, you get bought into the experiment that you're going after, and you've got such high conviction in it that you don't know enough sometimes to take a step back and say, you know what, we had high conviction, but this isn't working, and we should probably stop, ask ourselves the questions, why isn't working, and then make a pivot. And we should have pivoted that earlier, and I think that would have definitely helped out the company.
So this will be fun. Tell me what the future looks like for BrainGrid, for the product, for your team as you expand it and all things there.
The future of product development, and I'll be a little bit broader than BrainGrid. We see a world where product development completely changes. We see a world where the old way of doing things, which was, hey, you had a product manager, try to put together this specification, set of requirements. Those requirements were then handed to the engineering team. They hopped into a tool like Linear or Jira. They broke all of those things down into tasks. Then those tasks were handed out to engineers to actually go and implement them. Feedback is gathered, given back to the product manager, or the product manager is always asking for, hey, what's the status of this? What's the status of that? Are we on track? Are we off track? And then there's, of course, the managing up of here's where the product is going. I see all of that stuff changing. I see things like Linear and Jira largely starting to go away because I just don't think they're going to be needed anymore. I feel like we're going to be in a world where the product is going to be designed with a human on one side that understands the customer problem, but that is going to be creating those requirements in conjunction with AI through the use of an agent. It's going to produce a type of specification that is going to be so greatly detailed, far more than humans today are putting together, because it's going to be designed for another agent. And that next agent is going to be, instead of going into this, hey, I'm going into task breakdown, I'm going to take those requirements, I'm going to give them to yet another agent that's probably going to be working with a tech lead or another principal level senior engineer that's going to be working with the agent, allowing the agent to break all of those things down and to break those down into consumable chunks that then the developers are going to be able to feed into Cursor or one of the other IDs to actually do the implementation. So I see a lot of the world of the product development and product engineering that we've been living in changing very rapidly. And I think changing for the better.
Let's switch to you, Tyler. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
I've gathered a lot of kind of my own ethos over the years from just a variety of individuals, learning from them, learning its mindset, learning grit, learning that tenacity, being in a place, understanding that things are going to be hard and being okay with things are being hard, especially if you're building something from zero and trying to achieve something. And so I think there's just a kind of a whole slew of different influence out there that I've read through either through books or listening to podcasts that have really, I would say, shaped my mindset for how I want to be as a developer, as a founder, as a father, as a husband. So I don't think I could put my finger on just one specific person. Early days, I remember being a leader at various tech companies and trying to understand better leadership principles and reading books. One of the books that I read very early on is The Leadership Lessons of Navy SEALs. I think a lot of the lessons that have come out of the different battles that they've been in and the stress and the learnings that they've gained from a leadership perspective helped shape my foundational thinking when I'm in those types of positions. And then it's just continuing to learn from there.
Last question, Tyler. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
You've really got to understand the mindset of being a founder. And one of those important aspects is failure, it's going to happen often. And learning to deal with that from the emotional standpoint of not everybody's going to like what you build. People are going to tell you it sucks. But if you have that conviction that this is going to change things, it's going to make somebody's lives better, it's going to make an organization better, stick to that. Hold that conviction tight and continue to iterate, but learn. Learn from the feedback that you're getting. Even if it's negative feedback, there's more than likely something good in there that you can then utilize, take it back, and make the product better. You know, everybody, as you're going through this journey, is you're going to get a ton of feedback. You're going to get it from your investors. You're going to get it from your customers. You're going to get it from your parents, your spouse. You're just going to get all that feedback. And your job is to take the pieces that make sense and just throw the rest of it away and just keep building.
That is fantastic advice. Well, Tyler, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for telling the creation story of BrainGrid.
Thank you, Noah. I really appreciate it and enjoyed the conversation.
And this concludes another chapter of Coach Story. Coach Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.